welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. And at the end, I said, in terms of before I bring in Andy and we talk about it, probably something with Bad Bunny as the importance of Puerto Rico. But I wanted to, in the sporting world, Carlos Delgado is a Major League Baseball player that's gone into really dealing with philanthropy. And 3 years before he retired in 2009, he established Extra Bases with his wife, Betsaida Garcia, who I know well. She's a member of the board of Tasis Dorado, and really active and a great person. And Carlos was in a conversatorio that we had, Fundación Tribunal Supremo en Civismo, and he was one of the five speakers, and was, my view, the best. He didn't read from anything; he just spoke from the heart, and was exceedingly effective. But this foundation, 2001, will be celebrating its 25th year next year. Has given between $8 and $9 million to over 40 nonprofit institutions, and you know, to see someone professionally find, let's fall, you know, purpose in life to the extent that Carlos has done, and with such success is fantastic. He did incredibly well as a baseball player. He was the most valuable major league by the Sporting News back in 2000, and batting .344 with 41 home runs, 137 RBIs, and 115 runs scored. That is awesome. And I was surprised. I knew about him and all, but I just didn't know this. And the other thing that I didn't know is that he won in 2006, the 3 years before retiring, the Roberto Clemente Prize, which is given to a top ball player who has exemplified, you know, civics and civism and philanthropy, and so he was awarded that. So you know, it's a heck of a combination. And the article, if you haven't read it, it came out in July 20 in Nuevo Día on the page 50. And kudos to Carlos and to Betsaida for what they've been doing and are doing. I know in Dorado, Tasis Dorado, they've been critical in moving forward and moving Tasis Dorado to where it is and where it's going. They're a fantastic couple. Kudos to them. Okay, so Andy, you've been patiently listening. Any comments on the things I've been mentioning that you say I don't believe what you said, George, or this was really?
Well, I do totally agree, because that's part of what life is all about, right? It's not only because of having fun. We have to be responsible with other people and interact with each one. I believe if everybody has the same mentality that helps everybody, I think we'll be living in a better world.
I think
that's what life is all about.
Palabras con luz. Andy, so first of all, I as I mentioned too, I'd like to sort of start off when I have a guest, just let that person give a little bit of their background. In this case, you know, your background professionally and how it then ties in to this organization, the Puerto Rico Historic Building Drawing Society. Or you can divide it, you know, in two sections, your background, educational, family, professional and all, and then maybe how you got the Puerto Rico Historic Building Drawing Society together, and then we'll discuss what it does and see if we can get the listeners to get involved with you and move up. So give us a little bit of background on you.
Well, I was a little kid always wondering things, how they worked. For example, sometimes I'm a little bit embarrassed about playing with toys and put them to pieces to learn how they worked. For example, I used to take my sisters, I got four sisters, and take their Barbies. I wanted them to fly, so I just created this plastic bag parachute. I put them on a kite, flew the kite with a second cord, released the the kite, and you see the Barbies with the parachutes, and all my sisters going crazy and learning. I mean, I was
going crazy, upset, and angry
crazy
with you,
because they said, "What you doing? What you doing?" I said, "I'm gonna do something." So, what they thought it was something horrible, they wanted, "Let's do it again. Let's do it again," because I'm always trying to understand how things work.
Right.
Since I was a kid, believe me, they were even afraid of me, because every time they bought a radio or something, I used to put it to pieces, take out the batteries, and learn how it works. I used to do a lot of those homemade experiments. Well, the thing was that I was always curious since I was a kid. And then I grew up.
You had four sisters?
Four sisters.
And you're the only
Male. Don't mess around with women in Puerto Rico. Believe me, they're the boss.
They're older than you? Or
I'm in, that's the worst part. I'm in the middle part of them. I got two olders that commands me, and I got two younger one.
Who commanded you?
What the heck? What can I say? So I learned not to mess around with nobody, especially women or sisters. Believe me, they're the boss.
Respect women. I believe in that. Yeah. Respect women.
So the thing is, to make you the long story short, I went to University of Puerto Rico, study architecture, and it was kind of good. I loved it, but it was kind of strange at the same time, because I went there for a reason, to study architecture, especially the architecture that I loved, the Puerto Rican architecture, Casa Criolla, or other types of. And you know that Puerto Rico's architecture is not just one, it's varied. I mean, you got all types of styles coming in from different people that came around the world. You got Corsos, French, you got Italians, you got American, you got English, you got Scottish,
Irish.
You got, I mean, name it. They all came here. So we got all different types of styles all mixed up together. So I want to study that. So for my surprise, every time we kept going to different levels of studies. Every time we study architecture, history of architecture, it was the Italians, the Germans, and blah. But then I realized, wait a minute, when are we going to start studying about the Puerto Rican architecture? So I kept going, asking. Everybody used to tell me, especially the professor, you came here to design the new world, not to dig the past. I said, wow, can we do both? I mean, and he just turned around. So when we went,
convince them.
Yeah. So I had an opportunity to participate in an exchange program. It was at the University of Puerto Rico that used the facilities and part of the program with the Cornell University in Italy, in Vicenza. And we were like 2 months over there. It was like a little kid in a new candy store. By the way, I was a little bit disappointed, because the first time I went to Italy, I'm a coffee freak guy. I love coffee. So I started to notice in all the coffee shops in Italy, bean bags, full of bean bags everywhere, Guatemala, Peru, Colombia, and they all had the price tags on it. And I was a little bit disappointed, because I saw the Puerto Rican coffee bean bags really expensive. And I said, wow, that's unfair competition, man. I was a little bit disappointed. And I said, how can they compete? Bring this very expensive coffee. I mean, ship it to Italy. That might cost a lot of money, so they cannot compete. So the guy said, you know what? Relax. That Puerto Rican coffee is the most expensive one, because that's the coffee that the Pope drinks. I said, oh, really? I was so happy then. And I remember telling them, but then that's too cheap then. That's the Pope drinks that coffee.
What year was that?
That was in 1987.
When I traveled with my cousin Andres to Europe, and we mentioned Puerto Rico at that time, that's what they would say, yo, that's the best Puerto Rican coffee,
yeah.
The Vatican.
Yeah.
Later on, it was, yo, that's where Ricky Martin, and then
yeah, yeah.
Now I guess it's West for Bad Bunny.
Everywhere you can go now, you hear the music, everywhere, Puerto Rican music. But I remember everybody used to ask, where are you from? And from Puerto Rico. Really? Wow. I mean, they always knew about the Caribbean or music or whatever. But everybody usually knows where is Puerto Rico, or the salsa or whatever. I remember Menudo and all those guys. You know, Puerto Rico is always on the spotlight. But people always have this thing about, you're from Puerto Rico? Really? Wow. You don't even look like Puerto Rican. I said, what does that mean? I don't know what a Puerto Rican looks like. Do you? So we're a mixture.
Yeah.
So, that was a good experience, by the way, Italy. Then ever since I went to that first trip, I've been traveling all my life. And believe me, everywhere I go, I hear the accent or the loud voice, that's a Puerto Rican. I got a lot of stories that I met with Puerto Ricans around the world.
Yeah, they were. So you were upset, you know, upset that Puerto Rican architecture wasn't in the curriculums or the professor's mind.
It was kind of strange. So when we came back to the trip, I started to realize, wait a minute, we got an historic city here, San Juan. Then I went deep in the matter, and so I started to learn more about the Puerto Rican architecture. For me, in that case, in the older days, were just old San Juan, maybe. But I learned we have different architecture spread around the island. It's not the same architecture from San Germán, from Guayama, from Ponce to Calle. I mean, you can tell the difference. If you go to Arroyo, it's different. If you go to Mayagüez, for example, or the West Coast, you're going to see a lot of French-style buildings there. Oh, well, how can that be? Oh, I see a Puerto Rican building. A Spanish building, yeah, because that's the way you see it. But if you look at the actual architectural terms, they have French influence. For example, on the West Coast, you're going to see tons of those buildings with the round edge corner, especially the corners of the buildings has a balcony wrapping the corner. But the Spanish prefers the balcony at the front. So, for example, if you go to that's where most of the Italians, French were settled, the Corsicans. If you go to the south, Ponce, that's where the Tarragona, Valencia, Barcelona, that's a common. Ponce is the only town in Puerto Rico that has the architectural style called Modernismo Catalan, like in Barcelona. Actually, Ponce has a lot of buildings with the corners not straight edge, but diagonal, like we call it achaflanados. And that's how come, basically, the achaflanados came in because and there was a lot of accidents with the carriages, horses. There were like several horses in front of the driver, and they didn't see what was going on at the front. So if you have one carriage on one corner and the other carriage on the other side of the street, or the other corner, they practically collided. The horses tried to stop, but they couldn't because the drivers kept going, keep going. And they crashed. There were a lot of accidents. So that's how come they designed and reformed to cut the corners so you can have a better angle of view. And now if I got a better view, I can see who's the other side of the corner so I can go faster. A la milla de chaflán, like they always say. So there's a lot of things like that. For example, if you go to Arroyo, Arroyo is very interesting. It's a tiny little town, but the wood houses there are quite different from the rest of the island. Arroyo is where most of the English were settled. Actually, Arroyo is very important for the history, not only for Puerto Rico, but for the States. Samuel Morse, the inventor of the Morse code, it was in the States in 1848, but the first telegram in the world, designed also by Samuel Morse, was in Arroyo, Puerto Rico.
Wow.
His daughter was living in Arroyo. Mm-hmm. So he went to visit her, and she was complaining because there was a communication problem between the farm, the house, and the port. So he decided, let's test my invention. So he built 3 kilometers of cables and poles with the locals and two tiny telegraphic stations. And the first telegram in the world was in Arroyo, Puerto Rico by Samuel Morse. It's unbelievable. People doesn't even know that we have a Samuel Morse monument bigger than Christopher Columbus at the Plaza Colón. We got a Samuel Morse Avenue, and there used to be a Samuel Morse Museum. It was closed before.
Oh, in Arroyo?
Yeah, in Arroyo. Uh-huh. If you go to Guaynabo, there's a lot of Irish descendants because that's where San Patricio Plaza was located, more or less. It's where the Irish settlers were settled. Actually, there was a factory of bricks, and then you know the rest of the story. We got a lot of Puerto Ricans with red hair, blue eyes, white skin, last names O'Hara, O'Farrell, the mayor, Guaynabo's last name, O'Neill, maybe.
Right.
The patron of the Irish. Who the heck, who's the painter? The patron, San Patricio, St. Patrick. If you go to the north, Manatí, Aguadilla, the Germans settled there. I mean, it's much easier for you to ask me what country you're interested in, and I'm going to tell you exactly where they were settled. This is the first melting pot. So based on that, I remember trying to study more about architecture, and I never did. So I decided, you know what? When I went on my own, I said, this is the time to do my stuff. My stuff was, I introduced laser technology here with laser measurements and 3D scannings. So we started to dedicate our work and, you know, visiting all the towns, measuring the buildings. What for? Because in order to design, redesign, remodel a building, you need a set of drawings. so that you can understand what you have there and how you're going to proceed to design. It's like more or less when you go to the doctor, you tell him, hey, I'm not feeling well. He's not going to give you a prescription. He's going to analyze you. I mean, laboratories, he's going to ask you questions. That's what we practically do for the buildings before. Once we have this set of documents, drawings, measurements, it's an assessment, then we deliver it to the architect or engineer, and they're the ones who designing based on our drawings. So that's what we call as-built. So we're the first ones that professionally has dedicated our life doing measured drawings. So that gave us an opportunity to draw, measure, document the entire island, not only Puerto Rico, but Santa Lucia, St. Thomas, every tropical islands in Santo Domingo, except in Cuba. Also in Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, New York, because we got clients that has business here and they want, I need a BOMA drawings in my office in New York, whatever. We did it. We went even to Istanbul. We were invited by the Istanbul Technical University to measure buildings there. So we went there. So, I mean, we started to do this, measuring buildings, and we had that makes us with the biggest archives.
But this was a story. This was this organization that you.
Yeah, the Puerto Rico Story. I decided to found the Puerto Rico Story Building Society. It's a long name, but I mean, we didn't even know that we were gonna be doing this. So all I needed was a name. So I decided Puerto Rico Story Buildings. But the point was, it was in Spanish first, but Edificio Histórico de Puerto Rico. But when we started to search a name on Facebook, everybody said, sorry, it's taken. This name is taken. Whatever name we tried to push to, they said it was taken. So they suggested name. So they took the Edificio Histórico de Puerto Rico and said, how about historic buildings? It was taken. So I said, wow. So we started to add different names to it. And we ended up with that long name, Puerto Rico Story Building Society. So,
drawings.
So that
even,
was the point.
Even you missed.
Yeah, because it's so long, you know? And then the thing is that they accepted the page. We opened the page because the idea was, what are we gonna do with all these archives? We cannot throw it.
We got 30 seconds.
Okay, the thing is that we started to take all these drawings and put them on Facebook, show them to everybody so they can understand our culture through the architecture. We believe architecture is the only art in the world, that you can be born in one, you live in one, you study, you do everything in architecture, even die in architecture. If these buildings can talk, we can learn a lot.
Okay, well, we have time. We have another segment, but we've run out of time in this second segment. So in the next segment, we're going to have a discussion of what you then, how you got into it. You just explained then how, you know, what you're doing, what the listeners can, how they can take advantage of all the time and effort that you've been putting into this passion and love that you have, developed and inspired. So we're out of time. Take a pause. This is Reflections, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest is Andy Rivera. He's the founder and executive director and head of the Puerto Rico Historic Building Drawing Society.